Good morning.
Morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Robert is not here. He's up in Prescott at Tres Dias. It's a 3-day men's retreat, and the women's retreat's next week, and he won't be on that one. But anyway, keep him in your prayers today. So it's the second team's turn, okay? I got called off the bench, all right? The title of my sermon is Remember Jesus is in the Boat, but it's actually a three-point sermon today because the text is so long. So there'll be 3 points, Cindy. I know you'll have them written down, okay? If nobody writes them down, talk to Cindy. She'll have them, all right? And we want to welcome back Sandy and Rolf, okay, from Minnesota, all right? Mostly Sandy, but she had to bring Rolf, okay? All right. We love you both. It's great to see you guys. It's really good to see you, all right? So we continue in the Gospel of Luke. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. And you are the light of the world. I got a picture there. I think I do. There you go. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. But we are called to display to the world what Jesus has done for us, to show them how different we are because of Jesus Christ living inside of us, all right? Matthew Henry says, ministers and Christians are to be lights to the world, holding forth the word of life. Their light must shine before men. They must not only be good, but do good. Let us see to it that we have grace and sincerity, the root of the matter found in us. That is a good part which shall never be taken away from those that have it. So the question for us is, what kind of light or light are we displaying to the world? Do we attract people to Jesus? Or do we distract them from Jesus? Many years ago in a church far away with a young pastor, there was an elder member who was in charge of our altar guild. And she was very faithful. She was there in church every Sunday. But she was hell on wheels for the other members of the altar guild. And people would volunteer to work on the altar guild with her. And then they'd be leaving the church. Okay. Well, eventually the pastor locked horns with this woman. And it was a blessed reduction. But the point is this, we need to let our light shine, okay? Not just here, especially here, but when we go outside, we have to let our light shine. Amen? People are watching. They're watching us, okay? Verse 18, Jesus said, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. And I got a joke here for you, okay? This is Sandy and Rolf coming from Minnesota, okay? She's doing all the driving. I'm just behind the wheel, okay? Actually, that could be me and Robin, all right? Actually, guys, yeah, all the guys are pointing to their wives, right? There is truth spoken here, all right? But keep that cartoon of the older couple there, because I have an illustration about an older couple. They're from they're in their 80s, and they're driving to Oklahoma from Texas. And sure enough, the guy gets pulled over. And he gets pulled over, and he says, do you know how fast you were going? And he says, I don't know. And the woman says, what did he say? And he said I was speeding. So the cop starts writing up the ticket, and he says, he sees his license, and he says, oh, you're from Texas. And he says, yeah, we're from Dallas. And the woman says, what did he say? And he says, he wanted to know where we're from. I told him we're from Dallas. So the cop starts writing the ticket, and he says, yeah. He said, one of the meanest women I've ever known was from Dallas. And she said, what did he say? And the man said, he says he thinks he knows you. That could apply too, right? I don't want to cause fights in families, but okay. We need to listen carefully, though. That's the point, okay? Especially to the Word of God, we need to listen carefully and let it soak into our souls and change us. Is this what the majority of people do? No, okay. Charles Spurgeon says, "We have frequently met with people who, before they came to this house, never attended any place of worship. They were taken there, they say, to be christened, or they were there to be married, and they expected to be carried there, or somewhere like it, to be buried. But that was all their church going and all their respect for the worship of God. Unhappy they to have the light of God and to refuse to see it. To have God's diamond lying, as it were, at their very feet, and yet refuse to pick it up. The day will come when wasted Sabbaths will be a burning accusation against the inhabitants of this privileged but wicked city. With churches in almost every street, with preachers of the gospel to be found here and there declaring fully the saving truth of God, it shall go harder with the citizens of Glendale than with the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day when the Lord comes to judge." Has God provided enough Bible-teaching churches in Glendale? I counted on the way from our house, and counting Amazing Grace and Psalm 23 here, 17 churches. Now, some of them are antichrist, so let's eliminate half of it. Say there's 8. There's no excuse, right? Of the 8 churches, there's one that you should be happy with, right? So there's no excuse. But do we listen intently to the Word of God, or is it simply a religious obligation? Bob Eudley says, "The intentions of the heart will one day be revealed. God looks first at the heart, not the religious actions." Are we playing games with God? Acting like He doesn't know what is really in our hearts or how we live our lives? He knows if we truly love Him. We can't hide that. And if we truly love God, it should be obvious to everyone. Listen intently to the truth of God's Word, and then apply it to our lives. Charles Spurgeon goes on to say, "No, sir, but hear what is to be said. Judge it by the Word of God, judge it honestly, and when you have done so, if it is not the truth of God, cart it away to the winds. But if it is the truth of God, then accept it, and may God bless it to you. It is a pity that men are not more candid in hearing the gospel and in applying it to themselves." Last week, Pastor Robert had the sower of the seed landing on good soil and bad soil. And the key there is the key, what Jesus is saying today. And you'll hear this throughout the Gospels. How many times did Jesus say, "Hear"? Okay? The difference in the Gospels for those being saved and those who are being condemned are those who listen. That's the starting point. Check the Gospels out and see. You're going to see it more in the Gospel of Luke, okay? When he says, "Hear." And look at our culture and our world. Are people listening? Not to God, okay? They're listening to a lot of other stuff, right? And that's the difference for salvation, all right? And we're here because we've heard it, all right? Thanks be to God, all right? So the starting point is always listening for God's Word. So get real with God and get real with ourselves. And I'd emphasize more get real with ourselves, because we can't play games with God. Just be honest with God and honest with yourself. And from somebody who comes from an addictive background, we have to be honest with ourselves. Amen? Verse 19, "Now Jesus' mother..." Oh, I got to... There, go back. There it is. It starts with the Word and listening. "Your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." Okay? It's written over 1,000 years before Christ was born. 19, "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see Him, but they were not able to get near Him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word." Once again, what's he saying? Hears God's word and puts it into practice. We belong to Jesus. We're in God's family. Can I hear a wow?
Wow.
You can do better than that. Wow! There you go. We're children of God. That's something to smile about, right? Bob Udley says, "This shocking statement shows Jesus' self-understanding and the radical nature of biblical faith that can only be described in terms of a new birth, a new family. Believers relate to deity as family members. God is Father. Jesus is the unique Son and Savior. But believers, that's you and me, even the least, are children of God too."
Amen.
Wow. I put it up there again, right? Yeah. Wow. All right. That's like amen nowadays, okay? So, Bob Udley says, "This reflects the Hebrew word shema, which means to hear so as to do. We are saved to serve, to tell. Hear so as to do." That's from the Old Testament, and it runs in the New Testament too. When Jesus says hear, he's not just saying hear. He wants us to live it and do it, okay? Matthew Henry says, "Christ is pleased to own those as his nearest and dearest relations that hear the word of God and do it. They are to him more than his mother and brethren." What a special place we have, right? If you forget anything else, but remember you're a child of God. Amen? And what a special place that is, right? There was a businessman who was talking to Mark Twain way back in the day, and he told Mark Twain, he said, "Before I die, I mean to..." And this guy was a ruthless businessman. He was real cutthroat. He said, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top of the mountain." Mark Twain replied, "I have a better idea. You could stay in Boston and just try to keep them." It's the application of truth that sets us free. Amen? But everybody wants to redefine the family today. Well, Jesus redefined the family 2,000 years ago. It is everyone who listens to God's word and strives to live it. If we listen to the word and believe in Jesus, we will strive to be like Jesus. And we are part of his family. Remember, does it matter what the world thinks or says about us? No. We are children of God. Because has the world said something bad about you?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? All the time. It doesn't matter. It should be like water off a duck's back. Because who do we belong to?
Jesus
Christ. We are children of God. What we've done in the past, the sins we've committed, doesn't matter. We are children of God. That's what defines us. Amen? There's a picture of Queen Elizabeth, all right? And this is one of her police officers, but she has castles all over. She had a castle in Scotland, and she was walking the grounds, and they had groups of tourists checking out the grounds for the Queen. And this group of tourists comes up to her, and they asked her if she's ever met the Queen. And she says, "No, but this police officer has." Okay. And then she walked on her way, and the group of tourists left, not knowing that they had encountered the Queen of England, all right? 2,000 years ago, the King of Kings walked on earth, and many failed to recognize him, and it still happens today, right? Too many people are not listening, and they're missing Jesus Christ. The promise is for those who hear the word of God. It's for those who hear the word of God. Focus and pray against distractions. And please pray for the preacher. Because believe me, we need it. Amen, Pastor Rolf?
Yeah. Yeah,
especially me, right?
Thank
you.
Wow.
Wow. You got me. Good. It's great having you back, okay? I haven't been able to pick on anybody. All right. Charles Spurgeon says, there are a great many criticisms upon preaching. Will you kindly make a few criticisms upon your own hearing? I like what a woman said to me some time ago about a certain preacher. She said, I heard him well last Sunday. Yes, that is the thing. She did not tell me how he preached. She told me how she heard. And that is the main point. Good hearers make good preachers in due time. I do not doubt. Grant that we may be all good hearers. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Okay? And that's one thing I love about Marcella as an assisting minister. Whenever she gets up and prays, she prays about what God told her in the sermon. Not what Pastor Robert or Pastor Robin or Pastor Rick said, but what God spoke to her. Those are the kind of ears we're supposed to have, right? What is God saying to me? It doesn't matter what God says to the other person. What is God saying to me? So come to worship planning on hearing a word from God, and you will receive it. How do people choose churches today? Well, facilities, programs, got to have something for the youth and the kids, right? Starbucks coffee, Krispy Kreme donuts, that doesn't help and doesn't hurt, right? But is that what we should be looking for when we look for a church? No. Spurgeon says, the chief matter with a hearer when he goes to a town to live and has to inquire, where shall I attend on the Lord's day? Should be this. Where can I hear most concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Where shall I hear a man who can touch my conscience? Where shall I hear the truth that will be quick, powerful, sharp as a two-edged sword to my soul? Where may I hope to be saved? Where may I trust being saved, that I may be helped on the road to heaven? All the rest is mere matter of taste. But this is a matter of the utmost importance. If you move and you go to another church, or when you go back to Minnesota, go to a church that preaches God's word. That's the most important thing. Nothing else matters, right? Because Jesus, today, he's calling us to hear. And some of the trash that churches are preaching nowadays, you got to go where the truth is being told, and you need to listen, right? We all need to listen. And what is our standard? Is the Word of God, right? That's why, how many minutes a day? 15. That way you can tell if the preacher's preaching the truth or not, right? Because Jesus isn't, when you see Jesus, he's not going to say, well, gee, Pastor Rick said it's okay. He's going to say, what did my word say? What did my word say, right? Amen. So are we open to hearing God's word? Are we children of God? And these are synonymous, by the way. If you're a child of God, you will hear, you'll listen to God's word. Verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. The squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind with the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And we got a great picture there. Because you can see why they were panicked, right? The boat is literally being swamped. And remember, the apostles were professional fishermen, right? So this had to be one heck of a storm. Because they'd experienced storms before. They thought they were going to die. So it's not just another storm, it's a super storm. And their boat was being swamped. Have you ever been swamped in life? Yeah, we have, haven't we? When we feel like we're sinking. But the disciples encountered a storm with Jesus in the boat with them. And maybe they thought that following the Messiah would eliminate storms and troubles in their lives. After all, it should be smooth sailing with the Son of God, right? No. Should we just expect smooth sailing with Jesus? No. But the good news, Jesus is in the boat with us. Amen? Everybody say, Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. Does this mean we will get through all of life's storms untouched? No. No. It doesn't. We have brothers and sisters who have fought cancer and heart disease, and eventually they've been healed, but they're in heaven now. Okay? But Jesus was in the boat with them. Spurgeon says, "My dear brothers and sisters, do you not know that sometimes God works a greater wonder when he sustains his people in trouble than he would if he brought them out of it? For him to let the bush burn on and yet not be consumed is a grander thing than for him to quench the flame so to save the bush. God is being glorified in your troubles. And if you realize this, you will be ready to say, Lord, heap on the loads if it is for your glory. Give me your strength equal to my day, and then pile on the burdens. I shall not be crushed beneath them, but I shall be made to illustrate your power. My weakness shall glorify your might." Have you ever been there? It's hard to pray, load more burdens on, right? But isn't it a wonderful witness when people see how believers deal with problems? That we're not overwhelmed? That we can have a peace even in the midst of trouble? That's what attracts people to Jesus. Have you ever wondered why? Or have you ever said, does God even care about me? It's happened to me, okay? I know it's happened to you. It's happened to each and every one of us, right? There was a parakeet named Chippy. And Chippy was in his cage, and his owner decided to clean the cage. So she got the vacuum cleaner, and she had the nozzle on, but it wasn't picking up enough, so she took the nozzle off and was cleaning it. And then the phone rang, and she got the phone, and whoosh, Chippy got sucked up. Okay, so the woman dropped the phone. She turns off the vacuum, opens it up, and there's Chippy all covered with dust. So he's still alive, though. So she grabs Chippy, and she takes him into the bathroom and washes him under the bathroom sink, you know. Then Chippy is shivering, okay. So what does she do? She gets a hair dryer, and she blow dries Chippy, okay. And then she puts him back in his cage. Well, the reporter who reported this a week later asked the owner, "Well, what happened to Chippy? Is he still alive? How's he doing?" And she said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just kind of sits and stares." Okay. I guess that's what happens when you get sucked up, washed up, and blown dry, right? Okay. But have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like Chippy, you know, where you don't feel like singing, all right? Like you say, what next, Lord? What next, right? Well, remember, Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the boat with us. Charles Spurgeon says, "No, it cannot be that Jesus should ever be indifferent to his people's woes. And the Spirit, the dear, ever blessed Holy Spirit who dwells in us, can he be without pity? He condescends to dwell in us and to take upon himself the peculiar office of the Comforter. This is matchless condescension. Do you think that he is the Comforter and yet does not sympathize? Think of the love of the Spirit and never for a moment suspect that he is careless as to whether you shall perish or not. The triune God is love. The triune God is love. Unconditional love. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. He cannot be indifferent to the condition of his own. He cannot be indifferent to the condition of his own, no matter what we're going through." And I got another great picture here. This is, I like this because this is Jesus and this is me, okay? You ever been there? Where Jesus has to pull you out of deep water?
Never.
Yeah, it's a great picture, isn't it? Remember the picture also. I'm asking you to remember a lot. Yes, dear. I'm behind the wheel, but she's driving, okay? There was a monk in the Middle Ages, and he told his congregation he was going to preach on the love of Christ, okay? And it was going to be a Sunday night, he was going to have a special sermon. So all the people, it's the Middle Ages, they go to the church and it's darkened because there's no light coming in through the windows, there's just candles. And the monk comes and he walks to the front of the church and he lights a candle and then he walks up to the crucifix and he holds the candle by the crown of thorns and then he holds the candle by the pierced hands and then he holds the candle by the wounded side. And then he holds the candle by the pierced feet. And then he blows out the candle and he sits down without saying a word. During the times when we feel we're sinking, okay, we feel like Chippy, during those times when we're in the storm, look to the cross, look to the cross, and remind yourself again of how much Jesus loves you. Whenever you're going through a tough time, look to the cross because Jesus is there. There's the storm we're in. Look to the cross. Amen. So in closing, Cindy, you got your pencil? Listen to the Word of God today and live it. Point one, listen to the Word of God and live it. Second, you are children of God. You are children of God. And third, Jesus is always in the boat with us. Always. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your death on the cross for us. When we're going through tough times, help us to look through our troubles and see you, Lord, and the great love you have for us. We ask that you give us ears to hear your word and send your Holy Spirit that we can live it, Lord. And when we go out these doors and the culture tells us we're inadequate, we're rotten, we're not enough, let us hear your voice saying, you are a child of God. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.